1884 was an inauspicious year for Teddy Roosevelt. In the preceding years, Roosevelt had experienced a string of remarkable and fulfilling successes. He'd graduated from Harvard Phi Beta Kappa. In his early 20s, he'd published works already on such varied topics as ornithology and the Naval War of 1812. He'd married the prettiest girl in New York, and she turned out to be as loving as she was lovely. And he was, at a very young age, elected to the New York State Assembly. Roosevelt, that year, had truly entered the promised land. And then, as some of you will know, on February 14th, 1884, Valentine's Day, Roosevelt's mother and his beloved wife died within hours of one another in the same house. His wife had given birth to their only child just 2 days earlier, and in his diary on that day, the usually effusive Roosevelt scrawled a large X across the page, accompanied by the lone sentence, "The light has gone out from my life." Later that same year, Roosevelt attempted to channel his grief into political activity. He, the most political of men, staked his future on the losing candidate at the Republican National Convention. And after it ended, he was as devastated in his public life as he had been in his private. Not knowing what else to do, Roosevelt felt himself driven from the world that he had known and into the desolate Dakota Badlands, moving physically into a wilderness which mirrored that utter and barren wilderness that he felt inside. Our readings today tell us two stories of the wilderness, and in their difference, they expand our understanding of what the wilderness entails. In the gospel, we read about a wilderness that's characterized by its desolation. It's stark, it's dry, and it's without sustenance. It leaves the one trapped within it susceptible to the temptation of devils who would offer false promises of comfort and ease. This definition of the wilderness is both terrible and familiar. We've experienced it inside ourselves. We can recall in our lives its thirst and the temptation to attempt its escape by embracing our demons. In the Genesis lesson, we read about a different kind of wilderness altogether. And this is one that's characterized not by its stark scarcity, but by its drowning abundance. Noah and his little ark emerge from a deluge, an incessant pounding rain that has threatened to overwhelm them. The storm swirls and beats with such relentless power that keeping equilibrium is virtually impossible. And we know what this is like too. And we know that it too is just a wilderness of a different kind. When the world comes at us so fast, we swirl and we spin. And when clouds gather, and we're pounded on all sides. In both cases that we read today, the time in the wilderness lasts 40 days. That's the Bible's language of saying, scarcely longer than we can endure. It also happens to be exactly the same duration as the season of Lent. Teddy Roosevelt's life experience was lived out in the public eye because he was, after all, a larger-than-life figure. But his experience resonates with ours. Roosevelt's time in the wilderness began just as his life had begun to seem golden, just when it seemed that he had found his promised land. N.T. Wright says that this should come as no surprise. You're never far from the wilderness when you're in the promised land, he counsels. When you're in Jerusalem, the wilderness is always just over the next hill. We know that to be true. Our wildernesses often come hot on the heels of promise. Sometimes they're of our own making. Whatever success or fulfillment we enjoy in life becomes heady, and we act imprudently or even recklessly, falling from grace so quickly that we nearly get whiplash. Other times we're driven into the wilderness for no discernible reason and with no discernible cause at all. Life's water simply dries up, and we find ourselves in the desert. Or life comes at us as a deluge, and we discover suddenly that we're drowning. Either way, the wilderness is terrifying. It feels devoid of grace, and we avoid it at all costs. All of this is true, and it's why we have so much trouble making any sense out of the season of Lent. It's why we resolve to give up chocolate, or in my case, beer, and feel satisfied, therefore, that we are observing a holy Lent. But Lent, you see, is so much more than that. The 40 days of Lent, like the 40 days of the flood, or Jesus' 40 days of temptation in the desert, are about facing the threatening wilderness with our eyes wide open. Why in the world would we do such a thing? If we're already in the wilderness, why would we choose to remain a second longer than we have to? And especially if we think we've escaped the wildernesses in our lives, then why would we willingly return to them? Why would we reapproach our darkest moments? There is a story about the Cherokee rite of passage to manhood, when an adolescent discovers his true identity. As the daytime light fails, the boy's father takes him deep into the forest wilderness, blindfolds him, and leaves him alone. The boy must sit on a stump all night and not remove the blindfold until the rays of the morning sun shine through it. As you can imagine, the boy is terrified. He can hear all kinds of noises in the night. Wild beasts must surely be all around him. Someone may reach out from the darkness and do him harm. Wind blows and the air chills, and the young man must remain in the wilderness. Finally, after a fearful night, the sun appears and the young man removes his blindfold. And it's only then that he discovers his father sitting on the stump next to him. The father has been at watch the entire night, tending to the boy in the darkness. You see, for the young man, discovering his identity required facing the long night in the wilderness. The two were bound together. But even in the darkness, he was not alone. When Noah and his little ark emerge from the storm, God speaks to them. All of them, by the way, not just the human beings. God speaks to every creature under heaven. God does not say that there will be no more storms. He doesn't say that the clouds are gone for good. What God does say to Noah and to his menagerie is that he has been present with them, even in the downpour. Flood and wave will no longer have the power to destroy, God promises, because we will never face them without him. The rainbow is God's covenant that light will always emerge from the darkness. And it's there that Noah discovers that he has the faith to navigate uncharted and lonely waters. And in the gospel, we mustn't lose sight that it is after Jesus' baptism, it's after God has opened the heavens and declared Jesus' favor, that the desert opens before him. And the devil crowds in. Even Jesus isn't spared temptation or the wilderness. But even so, Mark almost tumbles over himself to tell us that more than the devil and more than the wild beasts, God's very angels meet Jesus in the wilderness. And it's there that Jesus discovers what it is to live as the Son of God. When Teddy Roosevelt went to the Badlands, he thought his life was over. And once there, believe it or not, things got worse. He faced scorching sun. He faced outlaws. He faced the greatest blizzard that the American West, even to this day, has on record. But somehow, not in avoidance of that wilderness, but rather through it, Roosevelt emerged 3 years later as a truer man. He entered the wilderness in its physical and emotional components, convinced that the light was gone from his life. But there, he found a new light in the darkness. And instead of remaining simply a merely gifted and ambitious climber, he discovered that person that we remember for his courage and his conviction and his love for people and the environment in need. And so we see there's a flip side to N.T. Wright's point. It's surely true that the wilderness threatens us, perhaps most especially when we have skirted so closely to the promised land. But it's also true that even the wilderness need not frighten the children of God. There is no storm so dark. There is no wasteland so desolate. There is no 40 days so long that it is beyond the reach of the God of love. No matter how hard against us the rain falls, no matter if its sheets are so dense as to seem like a solid wall, God is there. No matter how dry the desert, no matter what devils nip at our heels or infect our hearts, God's angels are nearby. It may even be in the wilderness that we learn new things about ourselves and about God. It is in our wildernesses where we discover who we are, where we meet God, and we learn what God, and not our own inclinations, would have us make of our lives. With the sure knowledge that God's light will guide us and God's angels will tend our hunger and our thirst, this Lent we can face the demons. We can face the desert and we can face the storm. If we fled from our wildernesses before, not truly facing them, but just suppressing them a hair's breadth beneath the surface, then this Lent may be the time with prayer and with God to go back, as Jesus does throughout his ministry, to face the dark and desolate places inside us. Because like Jesus, we don't travel alone. There are angels with us, guiding our steps, and tending to us even in the dark. And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.